All right. Well, the gospel message this morning is taken from John. We're continuing our story in John, John chapter 14. This is a long section. You know, in Scripture, especially the Gospels, of course, they capture glimpses of Jesus' life, snapshots of an event, of an occasion, or perhaps a teaching. And it's always sort of in the context of some action happening, a healing, a feeding, special event. Here in John 14, it's a very long section that captures a lot of Jesus' words. You know, the words of Jesus are important, and if you were using a red letter version Bible, have you ever had one of those? Maybe you do now, where the words of Jesus are in red. So a lot of the gospel, of course, is in red. Some even in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is quoted as speaking, is in red. Well, these are red letter words. And I invite you to hear them today from John chapter 14. And I'll be beginning our reading, put it in a little context, at verse 18. This is the good news about Jesus. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm going to come back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you are going to see me because I am alive. And you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. The person who knows my commands and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said, "Master, why is it that you are about to make yourself plain to us and not to the world?" Jesus said, "Because there's not much love in the world, and it's a world that is blind. If anyone loves me, that person will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing is not mine. It's the message that my Father who sent me has given me. And I'm telling you things while I am still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things that I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you, peace, the way you're used to being, used to receiving it. Feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. My peace has overcome the world. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today, that you have not left us without your words. And may your words move us to action by that same spirit you spoke about so long ago. May it ring fresh in our ears today. Get our feet and hands moving as you lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. I love words in English, and I meant to look this up on the way down. Often Melissa's a huge help to me on my way down. I'll think of something like in the last minute. Say, hey, why don't we look this up just real quick? Maybe I can use this. And one of it is, what do we call English words that sound alike but have a different meaning? Excellent. Who said that? Dave, I am not surprised. Dave Word knew what that word was. That's excellent. Homonyms. Can't spell that word, but homonym it is. And one of those words is like plane. Yes, plane. What kind of planes do you have? Fly. How do you spell that? Very good. What other kind of plane do we have? P-L-A-I-N. P-L-A-I-N. What does that word mean, plane? What does it mean?
It means it's not very
Very simple. Very good. Another example of the word plane? Yes, a carpenter's plane. Who said that? Good job, Taylor. A carpenter's plane. That's spelled like a plane, right? P-L-A-N-E. Plane. And what is a carpenter? Why do you think they call a carpenter's plane a plane? Because why? Yes, it makes the wood plane. Gets out all the bumps. Removes the imperfections. Have you ever used one of those? We have carpenters in here, yes? Hey, where's Bob here today? I know Bob Lambert is a huge carpenter dude. Yes? You know how to... Marcus, you do? Well, have you ever, used a plane too much? And, no, of course not. I forgot you were a teenager. No, a plane, yes. I mean, sometimes you just use that plane to get the wood down, and it's like, oops. And so you have to plane the other two parts because now the middle's too low. And oops, and now the ends are too low. So now you have to get the middle down. Oh my gosh, there I go again, digging too deep. And now you got to get the ends down. And so anyway, plane. Now, this word plane appears in this passage in various forms four times. See, Jesus, for all his many words, really was not a very complicated guy. Our Savior came to do a very, very simple thing. Now, he did many things, and maybe this is just a point of view. But one simple thing that he did, he took God, our Creator, right? God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all one. But when God became flesh, the text says he moved into the community. God's Word became flesh and bones. Or, to put it differently, God's Word became plain. Not the airplane, and not that cool plane you use in carpentry to make something level. But Jesus, oh, of course, another plane is like in the desert, right? The plain, right? The Midwest, the plains, yeah. So, but Jesus came to give us his red letter words. Jesus came to make God's message plain, not to complicate stuff. No, sometimes have a conversation or pay attention when someone's talking about just religion in general. And ordinarily, in that conversation, well, likely a word, easy word that's thrown around is hypocrites. Oh, people in church, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, well, sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. But I do know sometimes people will say, you make things so complicated. Have you seen, I know Melissa's shrugging her shoulders because she always says that to me. You make everything, my mom said I make everything complicated. No amens, I hope. Good. But for instance, all we're trying to do is take something simple and make it understandable, i.e. complicated. Presbyterians are notorious for this. First of all, we're in a denomination, a community of faith, right, that nobody can spell. That's the first problem, I think, right there. And that's why here, on our website, for instance, or on the names that you'll see, Presbyterian, we love being Presbyterian. The beginning of the word Presbyterian is the word presby from the Greek. It means elder. And it means that we're not a pastor-driven church. We're not like a top-down CEO like our Baptist friends. That's sort of a model that they have. And it works. It's fine for them. But Presbyterians, presby meaning elder, it means that we're a collection of elders, including the pastor. But also we have elders. We have some elders here. Who is now on session or has ever been on session here? Raise your hands up high. Come on, stretch those arms. See, a whole bunch of us. The elders are the people that pay attention and discern the way that Jesus leads us, and we give them our trust. We give them ideas. We say, hey, I really like that idea, or hey, I didn't like that idea. And together, the elders work to discern where God is moving because we want to make the path that Jesus has placed us on plain. We want people, if they're short, to be able to see it down here. And if people are tall, we want them to be able to see it up here. If people are a little large, we want them to fit through. And if people are a little skinny, we want them to be able to get through too. You see, the whole gospel story is not to make things complicated, but it's to work together, especially Presbyterians. We get the idea. We love our committees. We do not worship our committees and teams, just FYI. But we do love that because when we get a group together, chances are, not always, but chances are you'll end up with a better decision at the end. That's why we worship together. Did you know that you could have stayed home and worshiped God alone today? Yeah. Now, I see some surprised faces. You better be here next week because that was not giving you permission to stay home. But no, you don't have to get together to worship. No, you can worship anytime, anywhere. In fact, Paul says, rejoice always. And so you can worship anywhere. You can worship on the beach. Have you ever done that? You do not need the red hymnal at the beach. I'm just telling you that. And you don't need a lot of fancy words. The gospel, our experience with Christ, it's made plain to us. So it applies at the beach, when you're cutting grass, when you're getting groceries. It applies no matter what we're doing. We can worship and take a moment. Sometimes it's rather even unconscious. We're just mindful. Paul says, the mind that was in Christ, that mind should be in you. And so the experience of Christ, all of us experience it differently, but one thing should be true of all of us. It should be plain. Not with a lot of ornamentation. Not with a lot of requirements that only you can follow and nobody else can, and that makes you kind of feel good. No, that's not right. And so when Jesus came, he made the Word of God into flesh and blood, and he made the gospel plain. Jesus says, I'll not leave you orphaned. The disciples were feeling like, Jesus, if we can't see you, then you're not here, right? I mean, it's like with a little child, a one-year-old, you know, where you put your head behind a blanket, and they go, oh, whoa, where'd mom go? And then all of a sudden you pull the blanket away, oh, whoa, there you are. Where'd you go? Wow, that was a long time. Where'd you disappear to? No, it's not like that. Jesus does not say, oh, if you could see me, I'm here, and if you can't see me, I'm not here. Peekaboo. No. Jesus is always with us. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will give you someone very special, that when this person connects to you and you to this person, you will always know I'm there with you, even if you can't see me. Oh, where'd Pastor Kevin go? Oh, there he is. Jesus gave. And what was that special gift he gave? The Holy Spirit. Jesus promised. He says, this is how the person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and make myself plain to them. You know what? If you're feeling like God's kind of complicated, and I guess there are parts of that that could be complicated, but if God is feeling a little too complicated for you and that you want to make it a little plainer, listen again to what Jesus said. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that one loves me, and I will love them and make myself plain to them. So, how does Jesus make himself plain to us? When we're most receptive. And when are we most receptive? When we're doing what Jesus has asked us to do. When we're listening to our parents, we are most receptive to seeing their love. When we are connected to our kids and sort of listening to them, we're attentive to them, in that moment we are most receptive of their love and they of ours. When we are listening to God's Spirit, that inner voice, sometimes an external one, that reminds us, this is the way I need to go. This is the decision I need to make. This is what I should be doing. Then when we're in that mode, in that connecting thing with God and doing what God wants us to do, it's there that God's presence is made plain to us. And we have that inner confidence that God is with us, even though there are times when we just simply can't see him. Can't see him anywhere. Oh my gosh, where'd he go? Because God is always present with God's people. Even if you don't sense it. Even if you don't know. Oh, where'd he go? Where'd he go? I'm sure he was there a minute ago. No. When we are in tune with what God wants us to do, he says, when you listen to my commandments, or to put it differently, when you keep your promises. This church has made a whole bunch of promises. We've made promises that started way back 300 and some years ago. You know what that promise was? That we would live John 1, verse 14, when it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us and moved into the neighborhood." That's what this church is. We're a community of faith from the neighborhood, far and wide from this whole Cape May area, where we welcome Christ's presence and where we want to follow what Jesus has invited us to go, where Jesus has invited us to go and to do what Jesus has invited us to do. And we are sort of like a grocery bag. Well, not exactly like a grocery bag, but sort of. Each of us are like a grocery bag. This church is like a grocery bag. And so we have this in this grocery bag. We have the outer part of the grocery bag that everybody can see. Now, I turned this grocery bag inside out so you couldn't see ShopRite, because I didn't want to offend the Acme lovers in the room. Did you know ShopRite was mostly Protestant and Acme was run by Catholics? Yes, and that's how they have two department store chains. It was sort of faith-driven, naturally, not in a bad way, but just sort of, you know, just generally. Did you know that? It's curious. Anyway, so Acme, ShopRite, wherever. What's that new store? Aldi's, yeah. Aldi's is over here. They got all of them right here. And so we have this grocery bag, and this represents Cold Spring Church, 300 years worth of stuff. This would be a far bigger bag if I could have had one in here. But in here are all the unique gifts that Cold Spring Church brings the community, and we need to bring them out. Now, like these good packages up here, the penny pasta and the oatmeal and the, oh yeah, seasoned kale. Please. So we have seasoned kale. All these things, they have a contents on the side, right? Or a book has a table of contents. Or our worship service has a bulletin, which is sort of like the table of contents for our worship service. Well, Cold Spring Church has a table of contents, and it's on the outside of us. It's what the community sees. What does the community see? Well, they see many things. And maybe one of our dinners coming up, maybe another gathering, we can get together maybe in some small groups and talk more about that. Because our community sees a million different things on our table of contents in the community. It's all good. Huge list. But there's also some things inside our bag that the community has not seen. That these are gifts. I'll pick on Lois. These are gifts that you have, Lois, and you haven't brought them out of the bag. How come you're holding out on us? Come on, Lois. You see, there are many things that, and of course, I'm just picking on Lois, because she has a lot of lights on Lois's chain here, light chain. But just imagine that there's a talent that you have. I don't know what it is. First of all, I'm new here. And secondly, how would I know that? Because it's hidden on the back. It's in that small print nobody can read. But it's a gift that you're holding back. And you just haven't either, they haven't asked me yet. Or, by the way, that's not a very good response. Or maybe it's, oh yeah, I did that about 35 years ago, but they didn't seem to like it, so I stopped doing that. By the way, just a comment, you know, that's probably not a really good response either. But I totally understand them. Because sometimes we come forward with something new. And sometimes, like, the person next to us says, well, that's awful. Put that back in there. What are you crazy? We need to look at one another and recognize that you have gifts to give. I don't know what it is. It could be your smile. Maybe you should be a greeter. I don't know. Or maybe it has nothing to do with Sunday morning. Maybe it's something that you'd like to do with kids in the community, and you just haven't figured out what it is. Maybe you'd like to be a mentor to a kid in the community. Maybe you'd like to help somebody read. Maybe you would like to say, you know, I give my money every week, but I never really know where it goes. It just goes into the old general fund, just sort of sits there, which is great. But you say, I would like to give to something really special, something that I could actually see it make a difference in the world. I would really like my gift to do this. Well, you should share that with an elder. Say, oh my gosh, you know, God's blessed me. I have something to give. I would really like to see a difference in the world by doing this. Would you guys think about it? Because if you do, I'd like to help support that. We've done a dozen projects here in this church that way. Somebody has a passion, an interest, a love that they say, I want to give to that. Maybe you want to volunteer and help out in another way. Jesus has invited us to make the gospel plain, clear as the little light that I'm holding right now. but we need to be courageous and pull it out of the bag. And we also need to make sure that our table of contents of promises that we're making to the community, that we're keeping them. And that if there's anything back here that we're not sure of, we need to take a look. And this is why we worship together, why we work together, why we spend time together in our teams like the deacons in session and people that care about kids and the other ways that we convene around special groups and projects like those who helped last night at our awesome dinner. Those sort of ad hoc kinds of groups that would pull together around a project like our hospitality table and other things. There might be something that God wants you to pull out of your bag today and find a way of letting other people see God's light. That's when you will know that the gospel has been made plain. And Jesus said, "You will know that I am with you forever when you keep your promises so that I can keep mine." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you love us and that each one of us has so many lights in our life, so many gifts in our own grocery bag that we may have been a bit hesitant to bring out. And so together we just agree that everybody's gift has meaning. No matter, even if it's kale. It could be something that we like, something that's not really my thing there. But Lord, together, all of our gifts matter. And I thank you for each person in this room today. And I thank you for their experience of you. I thank you for their experience with their family. And I thank you for the way that you have brought them even here today. And pray that together we would hear the words of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is God's promise to us, Jesus' parting gift, so that we can offer gifts to others. Amen.